Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is always a pleasure to come here because it's like coming home. Every time I look around and I see certain spots, I go, oh, I remember, and I won't tell everything that happened, but as a child running around this place, it brings lots of memories back. Thank you for the time you invested in kids and youth and what you produced, because even though you're currently one of our sponsoring churches, your investment goes long before the finances that you give now, because it was investing in people, me. And it's amazing, and we're excited to be here. I still have all kinds of stories and memories of Sunday school class, and my call to ministry took place in a Sunday school room right down there. It's before all the additions, so it was the last building. It was junior high. It was when we were studying 1 Timothy. And the verse was, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers in speech, life, and conduct, and so on. And that's when God said, I want you in ministry. And I thought it started the next day. So I started serving. And all kinds of things have taken place. We are excited to be a part of what God's doing in Bulgaria. I don't know, how many of you get my regular weekly updates? Anybody here? If you do not get it, back at our table, there is a card that looks like this. If you give me your name and your email, we'll add you to that list. It comes out every Friday normally. It's generally 4 or 5 paragraphs and often pictures or videos. And it just keeps you informed on what's going on. So if you don't get it and you'd like to, you know, you don't have to read it that day. You can leave it unopened, and when you can't sleep at night, go back and reread them, and you might get put to sleep. I don't know. But anyway, that's there. We also have in the back our prayer cards. This particular year, our tour theme is called God Harvest. And we're going to talk about that because it's our 10th anniversary tour. 10 years ago, God called us there, and we went, and our video will introduce that. And also in the back, if you have some time later, we have a 10th anniversary booklet you can look through. This is not for sale. This is just for memory lane. So if you want to look through that, that is there as well. The last thing I want to mention as far as announcements go is back in our display this year, it kind of looks like a little store, because it is a little store. One of the things in the last couple years God has led us to is a microenterprise livelihood group program. And we have between 40 and 50 men and women. We do have 3 or 4 men that do it, that are knitting hats, scarves, and other knitwear as a way to supplement or to generate income. And so all of the things back there are for sale. If you want, you're welcome to look at them, try them on. We have ear bands and ring scarves for the neck and infinity hip scarves and colored scarves and kids scarves and hats and mittens and all kinds of things. So if you're looking for something warm or something for a gift or something for your grandkids, or whatever, there's stuff back there, and we'd love for you to take it, but no high pressure. We do take cash. Amazing, someone takes cash checks, and we do take credit cards and debit cards if you have them. We've gone high tech this year, and it's kind of fun, but we know a lot of people just use debit cards when they travel or earn out, so we try to serve with the time. I'd like to pray, and then we're going to start with our video, and then we'll listen to God's word. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the history, the people, the commitment, the investment they've made, and the difference they have made because of those investments. Speak to us now and teach us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's watch up the screen and our 10th anniversary video.
In April of 2007, we arrived in Bulgaria. Having never been there and not knowing anyone living there, we were embarking on an adventure of a lifetime. Our goal when we arrived was to serve the church that God had already established. After all, we were returning to biblical Macedonia. The early church had sent missionaries here, and there are church buildings 4 times as old as our country. We would go and teach and train pastors and church leaders. We began running youth conferences, weekend events. We were checking out the leadership God had in his churches. We hosted teams that came to serve by doing kids clubs, youth events, women's conferences, and many more pastors training. We connected with churches not only in the U.S., but also in the U.K. and throughout all of Europe. God God began after about 5 years to expand the team by calling additional full-time missionaries. The Galloways joined us in 2011, the Wells in 2016, and later this year the Sweets will be added. As the team grew, so did the focus of ministry. God was and is assembling a team with different skill sets to create a holistic view of ministry. This has led not only to establishing churches with our church planting model, but also through the St. John Safe Home, ministry to the disenfranchised and abused. Additional humanitarian projects help with Christmas, feeding, and food when able. Finally, we're tackling the economic realities by creating a company to help those struggling to support their families with employment and business opportunities. We're now moving and involved in both Serbia and Macedonia, again serving the church that God has there to see what we can do to strengthen it and finding out who really wants to share the gospel. If when we arrived 10 years ago, you would have said this is what would be going on, I'm not exactly sure I would have believed you. But we are here, and God is at work, and there is much to do. Who knows what the next 10 years will bring, but I'm sure it will continue to be the adventure that has already begun for all those involved.
This year, our scripture that we are looking at is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. In this, Jesus was doing this, and he said this: Then Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers out into his harvest." 10 years ago, we were in transition. We knew in our hearts that God was taking us to Bulgaria and was going to change our lives, and we had listened to God long enough that we knew that God was up to something. And so when we got the invitation to go to Bulgaria, God confirmed it. So we left what we had, sold almost everything, and sold our house, put some things in storage, and we moved to Bulgaria, knowing no one and never having been there. Kind of like the early missionaries that would have gone out. Not that we're anything like the early missionaries, but it was exciting to watch God provide and move. As I think about it now, it sounds a bit scary. But then it was just an amazing adventure. It was being obedient to what God had for us and something we had done all of our lives. One of the places that Diane and I had lived before going was out in McPherson, Kansas. And if you know out anything about Kansas and that part of the country, it's flat. As flat as could be. You can see and see and see and see nothing. But it's also where they grow a lot of grain, wheat especially. And what was always exciting to watch about the grain was that they planted it in the fall for a harvest the next summer. And so in order to have a harvest when it was time, there had to be planting and work that needed to be done. And so we would watch them get ready for it. They would plow the fields and they would put it in, and then it would the snow would come and it would get cold, and you think, well, nothing's going to survive. But the reality was is that it needed that rest time in order to survive and grow. And then all of a sudden, the plants grew, and then harvest came. And when harvest came, it was all hands on deck. There was no, well, we got another event tonight, so we'll go out to dinner. We'll do it tomorrow. Because if a storm came, it could damage the harvest. If the winds came, it could destroy the harvest, and you'd get less. So when it was ready and it was ripe, it was everybody that could got involved and helped bring in that harvest. And I think this is kind of the picture that I see when Jesus shares this particular passage. The harvest is all around us. People are waiting to hear of the gospel. They're waiting to know the story and the salvation of Christ, but they need to be told. They need people to engage in that very process. And that's not just in Bulgaria or Latin America or Asia. It happens as soon as you exit these doors. One of the things I remember as a kid growing up is when we used to basically come in and out over here, there was a sign that was above those doors for a long time. Anybody remember what it said? You are now entering your mission field. And that has stuck with me, that our mission field begins as the church as soon as we exit this place and the people we encounter and the people that we touch and we talk to, because the harvest is ripe. Jesus told another parable about soil. He told the story of the farmer who went out and sowed the seed, and some of the seed fell on the hard path, and some of it fell on rocky soil, and some fell amongst the weeds, and some fell on good soil, and some produced and some didn't. But here's my question. What would it have taken to make the hard soil good? What would it have taken to make the rocky soil good? What would it have taken to make the thorny soil good? Well, simply till up the hard soil, and it's good. You till up the path, it's good. We have the privilege of traveling to the UK quite a bit to work with some churches there. And as you drive around the UK, you find a lot of what they call hedgerows. Some of it's bushes, but a lot of it's stones. And you think, why did they bring all these stones and put them all around these fields? They didn't bring the stones. Those stones collected over years as the winter would work them up from the ground, and all of a sudden in the middle of the field there were rocks, and they couldn't get a harvest, and so they pulled the rocks up. I'm not talking little rocks, I'm talking about rocks. And they would put it over, and they began stacking it up, and eventually you had these fences because it was the rocks that had come in and would have destroyed the potential harvest. And the same thing with weeds. You pull the weeds out, the soil's good. Which gives me this interpretation. There are no people that God doesn't want to reach. The soil represents people. And there are things in people's lives that keep them from receiving the message, that keep them from producing a harvest. And we have the joy and the privilege of bringing that, getting that out of their lives so it's a good soil and will produce very much. When we went to Bulgaria 10 years ago, we had no idea exactly what we were going to do. We knew that there were some people that we were supposed to connect with, and we began doing that. And so we just began serving where we could. We took and put the towel over our arm, and we said, let's see what churches are happening. We live in biblical Macedonia. I'm an hour and a half from Philippi, Thessaloniki, Berea, Joppa. All of those places we have now been to and we've seen, and we hear that we read the stories. So the gospel was in our region long before it ever came here. The problem is they forgot their first love. They got sidetracked. They got busy with other stuff, and it put God on the back burner. So most of these churches that are around are more like shrines or museums than places to meet God. And so we have the joy of helping them to know what it's like to know God. In fact, in the Bulgarian language, there's two words for the word in English to know. One is nam, and that means to know facts, information, data, stuff. The other is posnavam, which is to know personally, to know intimately, to be engaged in a dialogue or conversation. And so we don't talk to people about nam Jesus, knowing about Jesus, because most of the people in Bulgaria do know about Jesus. 85% claim to be Christian, because they're born into an Orthodox home, and so they're Orthodox by birth and decree, not out of relationship. So when you talk about posnavam, do you personally know, do you have a relation with them? They're like, well, no, why? He's God. Why would he care about me? I mean, I just do my candle lighting and incense burning and stuff, and he's happy, right? No. He wants so much more. And so we have the chance to just share with them what it's like by doing life, by living life. During those 10 years, we had lots of ups and downs. In fact, there's probably at least three times I can recall I was ready to pack my bag and get on the next plane home if I could have. That was the winter. That was the bleak time in the whole harvesting process. And God didn't release us. He said, no, I want you to wait. There's some things happening, and I want you to wait. And he began to then increase the team. And so the Galloways, another missionary family, moved there 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago now, with their three teenagers and one elementary son. The three teenagers are now back in the States going to university, and they have one son there now. But their passion is to work with the Roma, the gypsy people, and their passion is for discipleship and church planting. And as time went on, we started doing church planting, but you know what? We weren't planting Free Methodist churches. I know that's not good to say in a Free Methodist church for a Free Methodist missionary, but we didn't want to start another denomination because God was already at work. And we wanted to draw alongside and see what we could do. And so if we could help train and equip and establish other healthy churches that could be cared for, we were all about it. But that wasn't what was to happen. Partway through this, we began to realize there were a number of these churches that we were starting that had no cover, had no legal oversight, had no right to exist in Bulgaria. And so we felt God saying it's time to start a denomination. So we legally organized the Free Methodist Church in Bulgaria, and we now have 7 churches. And we're starting another 10 come March in our church planting model. It's a 2-year program. The pastors have to be interviewed. They have to be recommended by a current pastor. And then monthly they have training. They're held accountable. They turn in reports. We do a very intense training because we want to create pastors that understand what it really means to serve their people. Because many of the churches in Bulgaria that are started after an evangelist comes. He does 2 or 3 weeks of services, and after that he looks around and says, "You're the pastor, because you're the oldest male in the group." That's their ordination, their Bible college, the MEG board, the MAC board, everything that they do that we do to get a pastor is done, and then they leave them. No accountability, no connection, no engagement. And so they do the best they can, but they don't know what they're doing. They're sheep that have been promoted to shepherds without understanding what it means to be in relation with the good shepherd. And so we found that as we've done this, we have some very solid growing churches that are multiplying and discipling. In fact, out of the 10 that we're starting, probably 4 will be daughter churches of churches we just planted. And so they're sending out people they've raised up to now begin it again and again. But not only that, as God has now opened the door and we're in Macedonia. And so come March, we'll start 5 churches in Macedonia to go with the one we currently have. So Team Bulgaria, as we've called it, is now morphing into Team Balkans, because we're in Macedonia, and probably starting in July, we'll begin our first training programs in Serbia as well. We have sites and contacts in Croatia and Romania in the next 3 to 4 years. So we aren't satisfied with just staying in one spot, building one little community. We want to engage and reach people that don't know God. In most of these towns, we're going to have no churches. Or if they have a church, it's a church of, you know, running 40 or 50, and the town's 10,000. And so there's room for more than one church because they can't all fit in if we tried. So that began to become part of the process. Now, the Galloways coordinate most of that, and I oversee the legal component. So I'm legally the pastor, director, president of the church in Bulgaria. Scary, but legally what has to happen. When we were training over the 7 years or so before much of this took place, every church I went to asked me for money without reservation the first time. And I don't blame them. They are a church or a country that the poverty rate is only $360 a month, but gas is still almost $5 a gallon. So mom, dad, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa, whoever are working in one household in order to make a living. There's not a lot of what we call disposable income for whatever. In fact, of Bulgarians on the planet, about 25% of the Bulgarian people do not live in Bulgaria. They live elsewhere in the world in order to send money back home to their families, which means that of those 25%, most of them are 25 to 45 years of age. So mom or dad or mom and dad are absent. And so we find that grandparents, uncles, aunts, other people are raising the children rather than the nuclear family that God intended. And I said, "This isn't good. How can we deal with this, Lord? What can we do?" And he said, "Start a company." So I did. It's called New Start. It fits in with the name of our foundation, which is Onogenesis, which means New Start. And we began to try to figure out what to do. And so we have 2 components of New Start. One are livelihood groups that we sponsor that make products. I told you about those. Hats, scarves. They also have one group that works on making cards, greeting cards that are available as well. The other is microloans. And so we actually will loan out funds to a pastor or parishioner who can give us a good business model of how to start a company. And we've done 4 of them. 4 of our pastors have submitted loans. One runs an auto shop. We were able to install the automatic hydraulic lift. It happens to be in the church that I also co-pastor him with. It's at the end of our building. It's one of the things in our community center. Another one sells clothes at the street market in one of the Roma villages. Two others purchase land and do farming. One is agricultural and the other is animal. One of our young farmers has not only a hog farm, but we just gave him a loan to add dairy to his operation, which means he's going to hire people to milk the cows, to sell it to the milk place to make cheese and bottled milk and all of that. We have three or four others. As we collect funds for the loan fund and we're able to then supply, we will do that because we want to create something that's going to be sustainable and help them go forward. You see, there are many people in Bulgaria and I think around the world that don't care about eternity when they can't figure out how to feed their kids tomorrow. They don't care if you talk about getting saved. They want to know, how am I going to feed my kid? And when you begin to minister to people, and you meet their needs, and you help them be able to meet their needs for the long haul, then they want to listen to what you have to say about other things as well. And then you can begin to see God expanding the whole program. Within our interaction within the churches and the villages, we also begin to find that there were people we met that were gone. Now, these weren't working-age people. These were 14, 15, 16-year-old girls. Where's Maria? Oh, she got married last week and went to Scandinavia. No, she didn't. She was tricked and was taken and is now in prostitution in Scandinavia. Human trafficking in Bulgaria affects about 10% of the Bulgarian population every year. It is the highest affected population of any of the Europeans because it's so poor. People are often tricked and think they're going to get a good livelihood group. And so it's a sending country. It's a transfer country because it enters the EU from other parts of the Middle East. And so it becomes a big problem. Now, we can't solve it all, and we aren't doing anything for recovery. But we are trying some preventatives. And so we have the St. John Homes. The first one hopefully will be opening later this summer. It's technically an orphanage, and so there's a lot of red tape. In the last 3 years, I've spent a lot of time learning law in Europe and getting all of the company legal, the denomination legal, and foundations legal. And so we're hoping to start that. And the Wells family, since God's call, God raised them up. And so they have came in November. And he will be the administrator overseeing all of those homes, and she is actually the ordained pastor. We'll deal with counseling, we'll deal with life skills, we'll deal with all of the things to help the girls develop as they need to know they are valuable because they are, that they're not simply an object for abuse, but that God loves them and cares for them. And so we're excited about that possibility as well. We have another family that's going to be joining us. They're the Sweets family. David and Jill will be coming in May or June once he finishes school up at Spring Arbor. He's an older student. He just turned 40 this last year, but he's getting his degree in recreational and leisure management. And you think, you could have a go and start a parks program up there or something? No, but we've had a dream for a while. And the dream is that all of our churches are not building church buildings. They're meeting in buildings, but we're calling them community centers, because we want them to be centers within a neighborhood that the whole neighborhood can use for different things. So I said in the one, for example, in Petrich, we have the church that meets there in the meeting area. We also have a classroom where we run English clubs and we teach craft classes and other skills like that. We have a gym space for recreation, and we have an auto mechanic shop so people can get their cars worked on and fixed. Now, they pay for that what they can, and he works that out. But it's this idea that it's not just a building you use one or two days a week for just church things. It's a building that the life of the community can center around. And, you know, you can talk about God in a lot of those places and get a lot of discipleship done, even if it's not formal. And we find that works out extremely well. And so we're working on getting those. Some of our community centers run feeding programs. And our livelihood group, where they grow food and meat, some of the tithe from that goes to the feeding programs to help feed the people that are hungry, that don't have jobs. Some kids, a lot of kids in the Roma community. All of our homes are connected with one of our churches, or will be. so that the church will also take responsibility to love on these girls, to engage in these girls, to model for them what life should be like, what a family is like, what things should happen. And so God has created within our work there a synergy that it's not just about salvation, but it's about how we do life, how we live, how we harvest on all fronts, because God's given us all of these ways to connect and engage. And notice he said, go, not wait for them to come to you. He said, the harvest is ripe, send laborers into the harvest field. And so we're excited because God is doing so many things, and he's doing it because you guys are also helping us stay there and stay funded. And so you're getting to be part of all of that goes on there. The way I work is that we pick our theme for when we come back a year or two ahead. So I'm already working on the next tour when we come back in 15 months. And I picked this one out, and it was after we picked this theme that the Wells and the Sweets phoned us up and said, we sense God calling us. To come to Bulgaria. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And he does. He is faithful. Our previous tour was called What You Buildin'. And we picked that, and right after we did that, we ended up remodeling this warehouse, and I was hauling drywall and holding up ceilings and putting up studs, and I'm not a construction person. But it seems whatever God seems to be telling us to do, he then gives us the physical experience. And I'm afraid of this next one. but you'll have to come back in 2 years when we're here and see what God has done as we prepared for our next theme. But what I want to share with you, what I want to leave with you, is God's at work if you simply look for it. If you simply open your eyes and see what and who's around you. There are things you can do that impact lives that are exciting. I was talking with your pastor, George, up at Sky Lodge Friday night, and we were in the Chapel Rec building, and he said, yeah, a lot of these guys out here have started coming because of our Friday night basketball program. And one of them now is part of the worship leading team and plays with that. And it was just beaming that there were people coming through something as insignificant as basketball. But it's not insignificant. Paul says God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise and the foolish things to confound the mighty. And God is going to use whatever you do, if you give it to him, to make a difference for people. He's going to use you to bring in the harvest. Maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's an elderly person somewhere, I don't know. But you're not here just to take up space. You're not here just to breathe and give money to others. You need to do that if you're able. But you're here because God wants to use you. God loves you, has a plan for you, and can't wait to use you to make a difference in people's lives. I mentioned earlier that God called me when I was in junior high, and I just assumed that meant, okay, I got to start. And began to have Bible studies and talk to kids and pray with them and to engage in different programs. We ran the backyard Bible clubs. Anybody remember those? Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school and ran this ministry that was in the neighborhoods. Little did I know that that was still something I'll be doing 40-some years later. With more people in a different language. God is at work. There is a harvest all around us. And the question that you need to ask us is, what's your harvest? And I hope we've shared with you some of the things that we're doing, that God is doing to change lives. But we need to ask each other, do you got harvest? What is it in your life that is moving people toward salvation, redemption, hope? For the future. And it may start with giving them something they need physically to move them to the spiritual, because they often don't care about the spiritual until their physical is addressed. Never discount that, because God will use it all. Let's pray. Father, we know that your desire is that we would have a harvest. that there would be harvest every year. There would be regular harvest, but there's also times of preparation, times of waiting, times of cultivating and doing the legwork necessary to bring forth that harvest. May we all be about that. May we all look around us and ask you to show us, where is our harvest field? Where is the ministry we need to do in order to make a difference? You've called us to Bulgaria, and you've called this church to help support us, and we're thrilled and excited about that. But Father, we also pray that you would just work in the local community as well, that you'll help each person here to see you and to see your plan for their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do I dismiss them, or is someone else going to? Thank you for having us. We'll be back at the table. Look at our stuff. We'll stay as long as you want and talk about whatever you want to talk about. You're dismissed.